gonna rise up and take what's there. 'Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
This week in Radical History for the week of July 7th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer, some audio was borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York, and more radical info can be found at the Daily Bleed website.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
This week in radical history, starting July 7th. On this day in 1535, Sir Thomas More, a humanist and author of Utopia, after refusing to acknowledge the King of England as the head of the church, loses his to the king's axemen. Also on July 7th, 1846, the colonial power in the New World known as America declares war on Mexico and steals California and parts that would be known as Texas. Also on July 7th, 1865, Mary Stuart will be the first woman hung in America as her and four others are tried and convicted of being conspirators in the Lincoln assassination. Back and to the left. Also on July 7th, 1892, in the land of free speech, the song A Man Named Carnegie appears during the Homestead Strike. It is during this strike that anarchist Henry Bayer is arrested and sent to prison for 5 years for distributing leaflets. Also on July 7th, 1903, in Kennington, Pennsylvania, 27,000 workers abused by their employers go on strike, and the child textile workers protest in what is called the March of the Mill Children. All are malnourished, many missing fingers all the way up to the knuckles. The strikers march in the factory owners' neighborhoods. In one of the newspapers, it is quoted about the strike saying, "I called upon the millionaire manufacturers to cease their moral murders, and I cried to the officials to open their windows opposite. Someday the workers will take possession of your city hall, and when they do, no children will be sacrificed on the altar of profit." Labor organizer Mary Harris Mother Jones leads the children from Philly to the summer home of President Roosevelt, who refuses to meet with them. Also on a state in 1923 in France, the Paris Dental Museum of M. Wangrum is bombed by neo-nihilists. Quoting the nihilist, "Once bitten, always fearful." Also on July 7, 1947, Roswell crash occurs. Government reports that it is a flying saucer that crashed. Then a day later, "Nah, it was only a weather balloon." Also on July 7, 1966, after the Tompkins incident and later proven in Pentagon Papers that it was a CIA-created lie, governors meet and vote 49-1 to back LGB's plan of a full-scale war in Vietnam. In 1972, Ireland, Bloody Friday, IRA bombs and kills 9 in Belfast. Also on July 7, 1979, 2,000 Indian activists and anti-nuclear demonstrators marched through the Black Hills of South Dakota to protest the development of uranium mines in their sacred lands. In the summer of 1987, after right-wing favorite Lieutenant Colonel Ali Noor's testimony captivates the nation during Iran-Contra hearings, it was revealed that he was ordered by the Reagan administration and then CIA chief former President George Bush Sr. to sell arms for hostages, directly going against a resolution passed in Congress. Don't worry, like all right-wing criminals, he'd be pardoned by the president the next Christmas. Also on July 7, 2001, Amnesty International says China has executed 1,781 in the last 3 months, yet they somehow win the bid for the Olympics that is playing this year. This week in radical history for July 8, 1520, in the New World, Battle of Atampan in Mexico. It wasn't really a battle, but more like a massacre, as the Spaniards slay over 20,000 Aztecs. Also on July 8, 1932, depression hits its low point as the Dow Jones Industrial Average drops to 41.22. How low will it go this time? Don't worry, the capitalists have their way of making money. Also on July 8, 1945, 8 German POWs shot to death and 20 wounded in Salina, Utah, when prison guard Private Clarence Pertusi sprays a tent on a sleeping prisoners with machine gun fire. Don't worry, like Abu Ghraib, Camp Gitmo, Malai, Fallujah, and Haditha, the military is good at covering its butts and protecting its soldiers, even when they commit war crimes. Lastly, for July 8, 1980, Congress never passes on an opportunity to screw Native Americans as they enact the Hopi Navajo Forced Relocation Act to, quote, solve, unquote, the problem of impending access to coal deposits in Big Mountain, Arizona. Navajo families at Big Mountain continue their resistance to this day. This week in radical history for July 9, 1917, when Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman are charged with conspiracy to defeat registration under the conscription law, They are sentenced today to serve 2 years in prison, pay fines of $10,000 each, and quietly deported to Russia at the expiration of their prison terms. U.S. Marshal McCarthy says, "This marks the beginning of the end of anarchism in New York." Also on July 9, 1945, three black members of the U.S. Women's Army Corps Reserve are beaten in Elizabethtown, Kentucky bus terminal for sitting in the white section when the black section is full. The policemen involved are, of course, acquitted. Also on the date July 9, 1955, the Russell-Einstein Manifesto on Danger of Nuclear War is published in London. Bertrand Russell and Albert Einstein and seven other prominent scientists warn of nuclear war could, quote, put an end to the human race, unquote. Einstein would later say, "Only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former." Also on July 9, 1958, in Lebanon, USA invades with 14,000 troops and armed with nuclear-capable rockets to, quote, protect American interests, unquote. Also on that date, 1987, in Korea, 1 million South Koreans demonstrate against a pro-U.S. South Korean regime. On this day in radical history, for July 10th, 1894, 14,000 federal and state troops finally succeed in putting down a labor strike against the Pullman Place Car Company, which had been a peaceful strike until July 7th, when the federal troops intervened on the side of industrialists in Chicago. During the Pullman strike, federal troops killed 34 American Railway Union members. Also on July 10th, 1962, peace-loving American government rejects Soviets' proposal to complete and general disarmament of nuclear weapons. This is one of only many similar attempts by Russia to defuse the armament race that is rejected by the U.S. throughout the 50s and 60s.
This is your radio reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 10th in 1966, 2 years before his assassination, Martin Luther King Jr. was leading the Chicago Freedom Movement against the city's segregated slums. This was the first time that King and the SCLC had tackled desegregation issues in the North, and to their surprise, it proved to be a more hostile battleground than the outright racism of the South. King's experience in Chicago caused him to reshape his views on American capitalism and the process of change. When King was later criticized for involving himself in the anti-Vietnam War movement and the Poor People's Campaign in America, he argued that there was a direct relationship between poverty and racism and American militarism and imperialism.
Also on July 10, 1976, KKK members near Georgetown, Illinois, gather for a friendly neighborhood cross burning. The meeting got off on the wrong foot. They went to plant the cross, only to find it was too heavy to move. It took the white-robed merrymakers 3 hours to chop the cross down to a portable size. Then they planted it, only to find it would not light. Finally, they gave up and went home, somewhat crossed. Two more items on July 10th, 1895 in New Zealand. French secret police blow up the Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior anti-nuclear vessel in Ockham Harbor, killing one activist. State terrorism at its finest. Lastly, for July 10th, 2007, the former head of the State Food and Drug Administration in China is executed. Better bring a sack lunch if you're going to China for the Olympic Games. This day in radical history, for July 11th, 1869, Buffalo Bill Cody and scouts attacked the Tall Bulls camp, killing 51 Cheyenne and capturing 17 women and children. Also on July 11th, 1947, 8 black prisoners killed at Brunswick, Georgia for refusing to work in snake-infested swamps without boots.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 11th in 1954, the first known chapter of the White Citizens Council was formed in Indianola, Mississippi, and within a few months had spread to the rest of the Deep South. The White Citizens Council had white supremacist beliefs similar to that of the KKK, but they used economic pressure and political tactics rather than direct violence in order to oppress people of color. The council was often referred to as an uptown clan, as many members were in positions of power. Its successor organization, the Council of Conservative Citizens, is still actively promoting many of the same racist principles today. And some people argue that America's racist legacy is in the past.
Also on July 11, 1955, Congress, wanting to show how much different they are than the godless commies, order all American currency to state, "In God We Trust." Lastly, for July 11, 1988, South Korea, police arrest 15,617 demonstrators demonstrated against the South Korean government. This day in radical history, for July 12th, 1892, state militia moved to break the 12-day labor strike against the Carnegie Steel Corporation in Homestead, Pennsylvania. Strikers protesting wage cuts of 18% to 26% suffer 7 deaths in the attacks by the Pinkerton Private Police Force of Carnegie Steel Company. "Hey, but look, Carnegie was kind enough to donate all that money in the Great Carnegie Hall, all off the backs of the workers. Also on July 12, 1917, final days of the vigilantes deport the striking mill workers in Bisbee, Arizona. Yesterday, authorities sealed off the county, seized the local Western Union Telegraph office in order to cut outside communication, and several thousand armed vigilantes rounded up 1,186 miners of the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, and began herding them into manure-laden boxcars to be shipped off and dumped in the New Mexico desert. Also on July 12, 1951, Adlai Stevenson calls up the National Guard to stop the rioting in Socorro, Illinois. A mob of 3,500 tries to keep an African-American family from moving into the city. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Works reporter, Hannah George. On this day, July 12th in 1967, tension between whites and blacks in Newark, New Jersey exploded into 6 days of rioting when the police arrested and beat a black cab driver named John Smith. The rioting left 23 people dead and thousands of others were injured or arrested. Although Newark had quickly become one of the first major cities to have a majority black population, political power remained in the control of whites. The black community was plagued by police brutality, unemployment, poor housing conditions, and poverty. After the riots, much of Newark's white population left the city and poverty continued to plague Newark's black community. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it.
Also on July 12, 1996, two Ontario men are beaten and dragged in San Antonio, Texas by police who think they are gay. This week in Radical History for July 13th, one item in 1991, Chicago police chief calls for the suspension of constitutional rights so police can fight crime while praising the low crime rate of Nazi Germany. This has been This Week in Radical History. Welcome to more stations at a pickup and a little ditty, radicalradio.org, and KLGR 95.3 FM in Boulder. Inspiration for This Week in Radical History came from the Slingshot organizer. Google the Slingshot Collective for more information. Much of the radical info presented on the show can be found at the Daily Bleed website. Google the Daily Bleed for more radical info. Special thanks to the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York for the audio I used in this show. This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. A reminder of what anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman once said, if voting ever really changed anything, they would have made it illegal. So until next week, as always, I'm yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Yo, I voted." For a minute that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff. Who, you know, the only way you cure that, death, bloodshed. I don't advocate it, but I see that it's really the only answer.